We go to the bottom of the eighth inning in Baltimore. Orioles with a 12-5 lead over the Astros. And now the pitch for the Astros. Normally, a first baseman, Tyler White. So Tyler White becomes the second Astros position player to pitch this season. Eric Kratz was with the Astros in April, and he pitched against Seattle back on April 26th in a game the Astros lost 11-1. So Tyler White with the bullpen taxed quite a bit of late. Astros starters have failed to go six innings in five straight games.
Tyler with the fastball, slider, changeup, and he actually throws a screwball, one of the only guys in baseball that throw a screwball.
Now, is that a screwball or a gyro ball?
Maybe the gyro. Of course, we're kidding, but he's got a neatly trimmed beard.
Welcome to another Astros podcast.
0-1. Foul ball left side, fielded by Machado to his left, slings it over to first in time, and that is the ball game. The Baltimore Orioles take game one of this four-game series, beating the Astros by a final of 13-5. Astros with a season-worst five-game losing streak.
Robert Ford joined by Astros manager A.J. Hinch, and the Orioles come in leading the league in home runs, and when they're hitting home runs, that's when they're at their best, and hit six home runs yesterday. That's how they scored 11 of their 13 runs, and they really got to play their game.
Yeah, that's how they score. It's how they've won. You know, they don't piece together as many hits as you would think for a team that scores some runs. They do hit the long ball. They had six home runs yesterday. They had six or seven players have multi-hit games. We didn't do a great job of executing pitches, and when you don't in this ballpark against this particular team, we can see the damage they can do.
Joe Musgrove, really, his first hiccup at the big league level, his fourth appearance, third start. What did you see that was different for Musgrove yesterday as compared to his other outings?
You know, it looked like all of his pitches were leaking towards the middle to inner part of the plate. And when you do that, it gives the hitter a little bit more time to adjust, especially when you're trying to paint down and away. He did it to Trumbo. He did it to Machado. He did it to Hardy a couple times with some backup breaking balls and some leaky fastballs. So, we learned a lot last night. I think Joe learned a lot as to how execution is going to always outweigh pitch selection or the velocity on the pitch. But we learned a lot about Joe Musgrove, too. He hung in there. We needed him to go five or six innings. Our bullpen was depleted. We ended up using a position player to save, you know, for the rest of the series. And I will tell Joe that I'm proud of how he endured a really rough outing.
One guy who swung the bat well last night was A.J. Reed, and we've seen him swing the bat better of late, had a two-run home run, drove in three of the Astros' runs last night, and it looks like he's starting to put it together at the big league level.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, we would like him to get acclimated and get hot, and then I can play him a little bit more, you know, he can take over first base if the opportunity presents itself. So some adjustments are needed for him. I know he's adapting to the big leagues the best he can. How they're pitching him, they crowd him in pretty heavily. Then they throw a ton of soft stuff away and down. And you know, yesterday he was very patient in some of his at-bats. He got had a nice night, and we hope that's a sign of things turning for him.
You mentioned Tyler White pitching the last inning, and obviously a situation you never want to be in, but always something you have to prepare for. And I know every manager has kind of a contingency plan about who they might use to pitch as a position player if it's needed. How do you go through that thought process? What do you look for in those situations?
You know, I do have a contingency plan. It's one of those that you never hope you have to use. We've had to use a position player twice now, Eric Kratz through earlier this year. And sometimes just the rigors of the schedule and the way the game was going, it makes it necessary. Whitey had done it before in the minor leagues. He's somebody that I knew wouldn't go out there and try to empty his tank. He was going to be smart about how he used his arm, and I felt like he was going to go throw strikes. I hated the fact that he had to face Machado and Davis and some of their big boys, but he picked up his teammates. I try not to put anybody out there and put him in danger, but sometimes the game makes you do it.
Made a roster move. You mentioned the bullpen getting depleted, the pitching getting depleted, and James Hoyt getting sent down. And Brad Peacock, his backup, was up one other time this year, didn't get to pitch. And was that basically in response to what's been going on the last few days?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I mean, I think that we needed an extra arm to be fresh going into the three-game series this weekend. Now that we're finishing this four-game series, then we have Pittsburgh next week, National League-style game where you generally will run through a little bit more pitching. So Peacock's fresh, and he'll come up and go in the bullpen as more of a long man. And then the second reason, I think Hoyt has learned up here at the big league level that he's going to have to execute a little bit better. And he had such great success in the minor leagues. We're very excited about him. We're going to bring him back at the very latest in September when rosters expand. But, again, pitch execution was the theme of the night last night, and he learned a reason why as well.
A.J. Hinch, thanks for joining us.
You got it.
The following Minute of Astros History featuring Larry Durker is brought to you by Minute Maid. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out. Here's Dirk.
The game between the Astros and Phillies on this day in 2004 was like Jekyll and Hyde. The maniacal Mr. Hyde played the first five innings, but was brought to an abrupt halt in the fifth inning at Citizens Bank Park. The Phillies had already scored three runs in the frame to extend their lead to 7-2. The bases were loaded when Tot Pratt hit a ground ball to Morgan Ensberg at third, and Dr. Jekyll performed a bit of alchemy. Ensberg stepped on the bag, threw to Jeff Kent, who relayed the ball to Lance Berkman for a triple play. Thus inspired, the Astros scored seven runs in the seventh, with Craig Biggio, Lance Berkman, and Eric Brentlett hitting home runs. The ingenious Dr. Jekyll won the game 12-10 with a save from Brad Lidge to run the Astros' improbable winning streak to four games.
Thanks, Dirk. Minute Maid believes that whether it's families or juice, when you put good in, you get good out. That's why you can count on Minute Maid to deliver delicious, refreshing goodness in every sip. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out.
Welcome back to Astro Lunch, everybody. This is Steve Sparks, ahead of the second game of this four-game series with the Baltimore Orioles. And with me today is Luke Gregerson, a relief pitcher who struck out the side yesterday. Second outing since coming off the DL. Looked really sharp yesterday. Feel good?
Things are coming along well. Don't feel 100% yet. Just getting back into the swing of throwing, even though, well, you know, last night was a very successful evening for myself personally. But still working on, you know, getting everything timed up right again and getting it going.
Your first outing since the oblique injury in spring training was an immaculate inning. You threw nine pitches at three strikeouts. Does that cross your mind ever when you're throwing five, six strikes in a row and getting swings and misses?
I honestly didn't even realize I threw six pitches and had the two strikeouts until I came in the dugout. But
I usually notice with myself after two, I get a little excited.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about it. Just trying to get outs.
It was sharp yesterday. I want to talk to you a little bit about football. And you're from Chicago, and you're a big Bears fan, and had a little downturn the last couple of seasons. Are you a big Jay Cutler fan? Because there's not a lot of them out there, is there?
Yeah, there's not really. I mean, you know, people have their opinions about him, but, you know, I don't know the guy personally, so it's hard for me to judge from the outside looking in. You know, I don't think Jay Cutler is really the problem. They were known for their strong, strong defense, and now they don't have a defense that can stop a team. So it's hard to watch them. You know, they get an early lead, and it's like, oh well, let's see if the defense can hold them. You know, but it's a tough game. It's just like, you know, it's like any other sport. It's you can judge all you want, but it's, you know, when you're on the inside looking out, it's a tough game, and it's challenging to go out there and compete every day.
And as an avid fan of that team, you kind of realize what maybe an Astros fan or any other baseball team who loves a team would get frustrated with teams from time to time. It's just you pour your heart into a team, and it's just it's sports. I mean, that's what's so cool about it.
Yeah, I've definitely been on the flip side of you know, losing teams in baseball, and you know what it feels like when, you know, fans are yelling at you and telling you to do better. It's like, you know, you look at them and you just want to say, hey, like, I'm doing the best I can right now, you know, and things aren't working out for the team, you know, but it is what it is. So, you know, I've learned over the years that as bad as the Bears are playing right now, I just try to look at them and say, you know what, it's not as easy as people think it is. You know, baseball's not an easy game, football's not an easy game, and sometimes you're on the losing end.
Let's talk about the makeup of this team. It changed quite a bit. I mean, all of a sudden there's nine rookies in here, and you're one of the, as far as tenure goes, one of the older statesmen on this team. How do you carry your role? I mean, how much responsibility do you put on your shoulders to help these guys?
A lot. I mean, I think a lot of these the veteran guys on this team try to instill on the younger guys, you know, I guess maybe what we think it means to be a big league player, to be here, to respect the game, to respect, you know, the people before you. And it's been a little bit more challenging this year because of, you know, how many rookies there are on the team. And it's something that we see a lot of right now in baseball, where you can definitely tell they're going to a younger generation of players, which is fine. But, you know, it's hard to learn here. You know, it's hard to come up to the major league level and learn to be a big league player right away. Yeah. You know,
you gotta have experience.
You need experience, yeah. And it's something that they're gonna have to learn, and there's something that they're gonna have to be able to just grasp, I guess. You know, the level of play that they're at. You know, how good the guys they're playing against are. You know, and they're gonna have to make a little adaption here and there to realize, hey, I can't hit 380 in the big leagues like I was in the minor leagues. You know, they have to adjust and they have to make changes, and it's a game of failure, and we got to see how they handle that failure before, you know, before the success comes.
I've been in situations like that before, but didn't have nearly the talent level of young guys that these guys do. Did you recognize that there's a lot of guys here that have a lot of talent among those young guys?
Absolutely. I think the talent level in baseball is just keeps getting better and better. I mean, growing up, there's so much baseball now being played, so many clinics that you go to, so much learning, so much knowledge out there, private instructors, that kids are literally being raised to play baseball. I guess kind of like the, you know, like what you see a lot in like the Latin American communities, like these kids are playing baseball since they are children, and that's like all they do. And that's why a lot of them are like incredibly good when they get here, you know, is they're, that's all they know, that's all they've done. And I think you see a lot of that happening now here in America, where these kids are playing at such a young age and playing year-round one sport, and they're becoming really talented younger players. So now it's just a matter of time before they need to make that transition at this level where the game speeds up a little better. Every pitcher's good. Every hitter's good.
And they can slow it down, right?
And
when you get experience, you can slow things down a little bit in your mind.
Absolutely, and I think that's another thing that it's part of the learning curve, you know, being able to take the game, step back from it for a second and say, hey, sometimes less is more, you know. You just threw a really good slider. You don't need to throw a better one. You need to throw that same one.
Yeah.
You know, so don't try to do anything different. Just try to do the same thing. It's, you know, about consistency and it's about repetition.
Luke Gregerson. Luke, thanks for catching up, and go get him tonight.
All right. Appreciate it. Well, my daddy taught me young how to hunt and how to whittle. Taught me how to work and play a tune on a fiddle. Taught me how to love and how to give.
Welcome back to Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Seventh inning stretch time. That is Robert Ford's intro music if he was to play today. Thank God I'm a country boy. What do you think, Robert?
Well, you know, growing up on the streets of the Bronx, New York, makes perfect sense.
When you're playing stickball.
Visit Astros.com/radio to hear all your favorite players, up-to-date interviews, highlights, and more. Get connected with your Astros at Astros.com/radio.